Well, now that the Big 12 basketball season is over, it's time to start looking ahead to some football. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And I'll tell you what, as I spent the first few days of the week really digging a little bit more into Big 12 football and what's to come in 4 to 5 months, I'm thinking to myself, Colorado is a team that we're all going to be sleeping on. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports is how you find us covering the Big 12 Conference. And yes, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and of course Utah are set to join the Big 12 in 2024. And I'm not saying this as like a diehard Deion Sanders guy. I mean, I liked Deion as a kid back in the 90s. I liked him as prime time, but I was sick of Colorado by about week 5 last year, and I felt they were a paper tiger. I thought they got way too much credit for beating TCU in week 1 in a TCU team that, for those of us that watched the Big 12 and watched TCU the last couple of years, you knew right away, watching them against Colorado in week 1 last year, that that was not the same team Sonny Dykes had in 2022. That got to a national title game. It wasn't. So people overreacted. They overreacted then for Colorado State and on and on. And then, of course, Colorado got a dose of reality when it got into conference play. But this year could be different. Right now, if you ask most casual Big 12 fans where they're at with this league and with this conference and where they think the Big 12 is going to fall this year in football, they would probably tell you it's some combination of K-State, Oklahoma State, Utah, Arizona. Maybe West Virginia, right? I don't think I'm forgetting anybody in that list. Maybe UCF, maybe Texas, and KU. I don't want to forget about KU. Point is, this league is deep as could be. But no one's really talking about Colorado right now and saying, well, what about Deion Sanders? Now, frankly, I think that's better for Deion and his guys. I don't think they want the hype. I don't think they should want the hype. I think the humility is a good thing for them right now. But I'm looking at this team and I'm saying to myself, the more I study them, like as I start to dig into more of the football side of things, I'm saying to myself, Colorado can absolutely be a sleeper in the Big 12 that we're not talking enough about as we get set for the 2024 college football and Big 12 season. Now, if I'm looking at this team, what is it going to come down to? It's going to come down to the trenches. That's where Colorado struggled mightily last year. If you look at Colorado last year, they gave up, and Shedeur Sanders was sacked an FBS high 52 times. That is just unfathomable. And this is a guy that obviously has some wheels. He's not a statue back there by any stretch of the imagination. They've got a whole new offensive line they've got to put together. They've got a guy in Jordan Seaton, a consensus 5-star prospect and the number one offensive tackle in the country. Can he come in and start as a true freshman? You've got other guys coming in through the transfer portal that hopefully are going to be making a difference. And don't forget, this is a Colorado team that had the number one transfer portal class in the country and number one in the Big 12, number 5 in the country. So you have a Colorado football team with the top transfer portal class in the Big 12 and the 5th best in the country. Those guys are going to have to make a difference for Colorado to make the jump that a lot of us think they can make as time goes on this season. But it's going to have to improve right away in the trenches. That is indisputable, because that's where they struggled last year. Not only when it came to protecting the quarterback, 52 sacks, they couldn't run the ball to save their lives. They got wildly one-dimensional down the stretch, and they also couldn't stop the run. And we saw that against TCU, by the way, if you're a Big 12 fan watching in week 1. But how about these numbers? Colorado rushed for under 69 yards per game. That's dead last in the Pac-12 last year. I mean, that is just absolutely horrific when you look at that kind of a number. So they became very one-dimensional down the stretch, and everybody knew what they were going to do. Sanders was averaging 42 passes per game in the 10 games that he started and finished last year for this Buffaloes team. You're not going to fool anybody in the Big 12 pulling that kind of stuff. You're not. That's not going to work out for you if you're Colorado and Deion Sanders. And then on the other side of the ball, they got absolutely smoked in the run game. They gave up 176 yards per game on the ground. That was 107th out of 130 FBS teams. That is horrific. No matter who you are. Never mind if you're Colorado and you get off to this red-hot start and people are, you know, kissing the ring and Deion's the greatest thing ever. They were loving life. And then it all came crashing back on the earth. So things can start to turn around for them. But it's got to happen right away in the trenches. Now you've got a new offensive coordinator in Pat Shurmur. He's not really new. He was on the staff last year as an offensive analyst, but he has become the full-time OC because the former OC, Sean Lewis, is now at San Diego State where he took that job. And, you know, we all know Pat Shurmur. He's got the NFL experience, but his offense didn't look great down the stretch. He ran the Colorado offense down the stretch, and they averaged less than 300 yards per game. Now, they're playing some very good defenses in Utah and Arizona and Oregon State, but still, that's a bad number. Meantime, Colorado, now on the defensive side, has Robert Livingston. He's a former Bengal secondary coach, a lot of NFL experience, and he takes over a defense that, as I just noted, was getting gashed on the ground. So you look at Colorado and you say, okay, where else do things need to improve? They've got solid, they've got solid linebackers at the top. If you're new to Colorado because you're watching this as a Big 12 fan, a name you're going to want to know is Levante Bentley. Team's second-leading tackler last season, started the final six games last year. He had a very good campaign, came a long way, great PFF grade, and then you've also got an FAU transfer in Jalen Wester. He had 116 tackles last year and a couple of sacks for the Owls. After that, depth is a problem, but you like what you've got there. And then there's the secondary, and we all know Travis Hunter, right? The whole country knows Travis Hunter. However, who is starting alongside Travis Hunter for Colorado? There's a name that if you're a Big 12 fan, you may be familiar with. Former Oklahoma State cornerback DJ McKinney is one of the transfer portal guys that Colorado added. They added 24 dudes in the transfer portal coming to Boulder this year. And you got to look at the other cornerback spot, and you look at a guy like DJ McKinney from Oklahoma State, and then also Cormani McClain, former five-star prospect. He was the number one cornerback in the class of 23. Up and down freshman year, did get a bunch of starts, but also had some bad moments. So that starting job alongside Travis Hunter, the other side of the field, is going to be enormous to watch because you know whoever wins that job is going to get way more targets than what you're looking at with Travis Hunter. No one's throwing a Travis Hunter side of the field, right? So it's going to be about who's on the other side at cornerback. That's what remains to be seen. And that's what's going to have to be figured out during spring practice. And Colorado just started that a couple of weeks ago. They've got a late spring game in late April, so they have plenty of time. It's almost a full month to go in spring practice. They got to figure that out on that side of the ball. And on the other side, you talk about the offensive line. That was a major issue for him last year. And then you also have the running back position. Colorado, as I noted, couldn't run the ball last year. Worse in the Pac-12 with 827 yards. I mean, that's just brutal when you think about it. If you look at the numbers, the Big 12, nobody rushed for less than 1,250 yards in the Big 12 last year. 1,250 yards. Colorado rushed for 827. That is abysmal. But there were no big targets for Deion in the transfer portal. They didn't really target a big running back. So clearly he thinks the problem was his offensive line. And he has a fair point to think that. When your quarterback's getting sacked in FBS high 52 times and you're rushing for 69 yards a game, you probably have an O-line problem. Alden McCaskill's back. He dealt with injuries much of last season. If you're a Big 12 fan, if you're a Houston Cougars fan, you remember him. He was the AAC Rookie of the Year in 2021. He set the true freshman program rushing touchdown record in 21. And he appears to be healthy. Dylan Edwards, another guy with Big 12 ties, who was once committed to Kansas State, a Kansas guy. you know, he's back in the mix, and he had a pretty good year last year by, you know, true freshman standards running behind that offensive line. He led the team in rushing yards, and also he's kind of a dual threat dude. He can catch the ball out of the backfield with 299 yards on 36 catches. So Deion thinks he's got the horses there, and he probably does. Can they block for him is what no one really knows right now about Colorado football and where exactly that stands. But the more I dig into this team, if they figure out that offensive line, Colorado can be a sleeper. When you look at, you know, what they've got, can they get off to a good start? Can they beat North Dakota State? Can they beat Nebraska? Can they beat Colorado State? Yeah. And then you look at the start of their Big 12 schedule, Baylor, UCF, Kansas State, Arizona. That's a tough open. You look at that right now, you've got Kansas State, UCF, and Arizona, three teams that can compete at the top of the league, and a Baylor team that also has overhauled itself in a big way. So they could start off Big 12 play 1-3. But then you've got Cincinnati, you've got Texas Tech, you have Utah, and you have Kansas, and then Oklahoma State. So what's working against Colorado in many respects is their schedule. It's brutal. You look at it and you say you feel pretty good about Baylor and Cincinnati, but after that, you're talking about coin flip games all over this conference, and that's going to be a consistent theme in the Big 12. It is going to be coin flips across the board. A bounce of the ball here, a bounce of the ball there. That's what this league is going to be in 2024. It's going to make for wildly entertaining content and television, but luck is going to play a factor in the Big 12. If you want a bold prediction as we sit here in April, here's a bold prediction in April. And this is true, you could say, for almost any sports team in any league in any year. Luck will play a factor, but it will play a factor more so in the Big 12 than maybe in any major college conference in the history of college sports. That's how wild this year is going to be in the Big 12. Because I've got seven coin flip games for Colorado. UCF, Kansas State, Arizona, Texas Tech, Utah, and Oklahoma State. That right there, seven of their nine games. Just flip the coin and hope for the best. And then, you know, frankly, I'm not trying to insult you, Baylor or Cincinnati fans, but you can argue those are coin flip games. Are there nine coin flip games for Colorado in the Big 12 this year? Just might be. That's how crazy it's going to be in this conference. And I'm here for it, by the way. I can't wait for it. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. We are so fired up to have these four new teams coming in. If you are new to the show, subscribe to the channel. Hit it right below if you're on YouTube. Also, of course, you can join us on the podcast. A lot of you are listening there, of course. Leave that five-star rating and review if you would, and hit the thumbs up on the YouTube video. That helps us tremendously. And if you are new to the show, sign up for our free message boards at heartlandcollegesports.com. If I look also just around college football, and I want to talk about this for a few minutes because I saw Greg McElroy of ESPN predict Texas to be the next first-time winner of the college football playoff. Now, if you think about it, there's only been a handful of teams that have won the national championship since the expansion. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, LSU. That's it. Those are the only teams to win a championship in the playoff era. So Greg McElroy was asked, who is the next first-time winner in the playoff era? Texas has obviously won national championships, but has not won anything in the playoff era. And he said Texas. And I want to knock them. I want to say, they're going to the SEC, screw them. And trust me, I feel that way. But I can't say that in this case. Because Steve Sarkisian has done what Tom Herman and Charlie Strong before him could not do. And that is not only recruit, but that is put the pieces of the puzzle together with the right guys and the right staff and actually win big. Sark going whatever it was, 5-7 that first year, was the best thing to happen to him. And I think in many respects, the best thing to happen to Texas football in general in recent memory. The fact that they were able to get him in there and that he did struggle out of the gates, Then he improved to 8-5, and then he breaks off that 12-2 record, gets to the playoff last year, and has this thing humming. And I mean humming. Now, NIL has helped Texas in a big way, but still, the talent has never been the problem with the Longhorns, right? Any of us who have watched 10 minutes of Texas football the last decade know that it's not about the Jimmies and the Joes, as they say. That's not the issue for this program. It never has been. So I want to sit here and say, Texas, they're going to the SEC, they're going to get smoked. I don't feel that way. I think they'll be competing right at the top of the conference with Georgia. Notice how I'm not selling Alabama. I mean, Alabama's going to be Alabama, but losing Nick Saban, I don't think Alabama fans, because most of them like are still under the age of 30 and kind of forget the pre-Nick Saban era, but I don't think you just move on from Nick Saban and go to Kalen DeBoer, who had himself, you know, a great record. Washington got to the national championship game. I don't think that's just a seamless transition. Call me crazy, but I don't think it is. SEC hierarchy, and I see Georgia, and I see Texas. And now with an expanded playoff, you have multiple at-large bids. You don't have Texas needing to fight with an all-time great program or two in Georgia and Alabama to make a playoff, or hope that somebody else slips up in another Power 5 conference that allows you to backdoor your way in as an at-large pick. You don't need to do that anymore with the 12-team playoff. So even if Texas doesn't win the SEC, they'll get a home playoff game, probably, right, with the way the 12-team playoff's going to work out. They won't get the bye, but they'll get a home playoff game against a much more inferior team, and then they'll be playing with, you know, house money in two more games, theoretically, where they'll be at neutral sites with some of the best rosters and players in the country with a really good head coach and a really good staff. And Steve Sarkisian proved that last year. And I don't think it was a fluke. Like I said, I mean, trust me, horns down. You don't have to convince me, okay? I mean, look at the sign on the back of the wall here. But I will give credit where it's due. And I do believe that Sark has that program going in a very positive direction. And I don't think that's changing anytime soon. I don't think that, like, that was a fluke year. They're going to come back down to earth, and Texas is going to go back to being 8-5 or, you know, 7-6 or something like that and playing in the Tex Bowl. I don't think those days are here anymore. I think they're gone. And, you know, good for Texas. But if I'm looking at the former Big 12 teams, I'm like, Oklahoma concerns me a lot more about what their future holds in the SEC than Texas's. Texas, and I never thought I'd say this just a couple of years ago, but here we are. If you told me this when these two teams announced they were leaving back in 2021, I would have said no way. But once again, here we are. Lincoln Riley's gone. Brent Venables in. In large part, I think the jury is still out in some degree. And Steve Sarkisian has that thing humming down in Austin. OU concerns me more. Do I think they turn into Nebraska in the Big Ten? No, I don't. But I do think it's something that is worth watching and monitoring. Now, speaking of Nebraska, did you see what Scott Frost said? The former Nebraska and UCF head coach, he made these comments to CBS Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, covering the Big 12. Thanks for joining us and being a part of the show. Scott Frost predicted that UCF could be a national power within 10 years. That's right. You heard that from Scott Frost. And I love it because I think he's right. Scott Frost, of course, coached UCF, led him to a 13-0 record before he took the Nebraska job with his alma mater. But he is predicting something that I have thought since I started really digging into UCF, finding out more about them, looking into the program, the university itself, what they've got down there in Orlando. And I'm like, this guy's on to something here. Scott Frost gets it. And he's sitting on his couch right now in Arizona in Scottsdale, but he's talking to CBS Sports in this very good article that was written, and he just kind of slid it in there. He goes, yeah, in 10 years, UCF could be a national power. He said it's the best college town in Florida by far. Orlando, the campus is beautiful. UCF, of course, is led by Gus Malzahn now. They went 6-7 last year in their first year in the Big 12, but they were a couple of plays away from being 9-3. You go back and you look at that UCF 2023 schedule, and obviously right away you think about the Baylor debacle at the end of that game, right? That sticks out as just a total disaster of a game. So no doubt that was bad. But then you look at also the Texas Tech game, one-point game. You look at the Oklahoma game, came down to the very end. I mean, they are a couple of plays away from being 9-3 in the regular season. At the very least, 8-4. So things are trending up at UCF. And I've long thought that UCF has the undergraduate body. They've got the location. They've got the wherewithal. They're building up the NIL. They're building up the program at large to be right up there in the echelon, the upper echelon of Florida universities and Florida football programs with Florida State and UF and Miami. And let's be honest, Florida football in general, I mean, has really become just Florida State. That's it. You haven't thought about Florida since the Urban Meyer days for the most part. Let's just call it what it is. Billy Napier hasn't done a damn thing. Dan Mullen won the SEC East once, and in his best year, he went 8-4. Jim McElwain had a couple of decent seasons. Will Muschamp, eh. You got to go back. The kids who are going to UF right now were basically in diapers when this team was nationally relevant. And a lot of us think about UF and are like, oh, Urban Meyer, that was like 3 or 4 years ago. No, that was a decade and a half ago. Like, the kids in college now were literally in diapers. I just put a 3-year-old to bed, and she still was, well, she's going to be three. She's potty trained, don't worry, but we still put her in a diaper at night. So I'm qualifying that as still being in diapers. She's in diapers at night. These kids who are enrolling at UF next year were in diapers when Urban Meyer was the head coach. It was a long time ago. And don't even get me started, as Alan points out, on Miami. I would take Miami in a Big 12 in a heartbeat. I would. But, man, let's be honest. Miami football has not been relevant in how long now? Mario Cristobal's done nothing. Manny Diaz didn't do a damn thing. Mark Richt had some good seasons, right? He had a couple of good seasons. But how long's it been? Larry Coker, you go back to that era. The kids at Miami now weren't even alive when Larry Coker was the head coach and was competing for national titles. So it's really become Florida State. That's what I'm saying, Andrew, on Facebook Live. It's become Florida State that has really been the program that has carried Florida football as a state for all these years. And UCF can make that case to be the program that becomes an upper echelon program in college football out of the state of Florida. And Scott Frost, who coached there, who went 13-0, is saying it, and he has no reason to blow smoke. None whatsoever. He's not getting paid by UCF. So it's going to be very interesting to watch and see how that unfolds. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that thumbs up before you leave the show here at Heartland College Sports and sign up for our free message boards. Let's go to some of your other comments here. Brian asks on X, if Kansas City ever built a new ballpark, would the Big 12 consider moving the baseball tournament there? Very good question. If you haven't been following, you can see my Chiefs zip-up I've got here. Taxpayers here in Jackson County, Missouri, rejected a 3/8-cent sales tax extension to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Jackson County. Or not keep them in Jackson County, but move the Royals downtown, renovate Arrowhead. If you're not from the area, it's much more complex than it probably comes off. This is not as simple as it seems. There were a lot of reasons people voted no. It was not some type of F you to the Chiefs or anything like that. It was very complex. It involved downtown baseball, shady deals, lack of transparency. But I do think they'll get it done at some point in the next few years. But for now, I don't see the Big 12 baseball tournament moving. I would be very surprised. I think they got a good thing going there in Arlington at Globe Life. Now, here's the thing. Globe Life is, if it's not full, it just doesn't look great and sound great. but it's climate controlled. You're not worried about the weather, obviously. Kansas City's not talking about building a roof over the baseball stadium. So my guess is the Big 12 tournament ends up staying at Globe Life Field. But I wouldn't mind that one bouncing around a little bit. I think the Big 12 tournament should stay in Kansas City. When it comes to basketball, we've got that on lockdown. I'd bounce the basketball or the baseball tournament around just a little bit if we could. But we'll see how that plays out. Long ways to go on that one. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports covering the Big 12. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube and on the podcast. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. As far as I'm concerned, we're now talking a lot of football here on the show, and we'll do it again soon. Have a great day. Take care, and go Big 12.